And then you have motivational speakers selling everything they, all their stuff online, right? So it's just like, oh, everything. It's like, okay, Tony Robbins, tone down. You got nothing for me. Really, I got the Bible. What do you got? Not much. A lot of hype. A lot of selling whatever they like gets them motivated, right? And advertisers lock into this because they know that you kind of come to the end of yourself or certain problems and issues in your life that you just need more. You hear cell phone companies and their advertisements say, more, you get more of this or more of that, more faster, more better, whatever it is, more, more, more. It might be a personal problem. One of mine, I was newly married some time ago. I have three small children now, 13 and under. She, he, 13, 9, and 7. Love them. And but before we had kids, I was newly married 1 week into marriage. I woke up in the middle of the night. I wish my wife was here. I like embarrassing her. I woke up in the middle of the night, and I knew something was wrong. My mind woke up. My eyes had not woken up yet. And I realized something was very, very wrong. I couldn't breathe. I thought, what is going on? I can't breathe. Something really terrible is happening to me, and I have no idea what it is. How do I fix this? Until I open my eyes, and there's this new lady in my bed holding my nose. And I couldn't breathe. I jerked back, and what are you doing? She said, I couldn't stop you from snoring. It was the only thing I could do to get you to stop. I thought, are you trying to kill me, lady? And we had a bit of a fallout after that. You know, but I didn't know I had that problem. So recently I tried to fix my problem because I saw this, heard this advertisement on the radio. If you get this thing, you wear it at night, you stick it in there, it does something in your mouth and it stops you from snoring. Boom, bingo. Well, I got the thing. It didn't do anything. But I had my hope, my expectation that that was going to change everything, and it didn't do the job. You know, some things work. Some things don't. You can try it. But ultimately, as believers, you put your hope in God. He delivers. He saves. He picks you up. There is, when it looks like you've reached the end, there's nowhere to go. I can't tell you how many times I've been there. And we run down to zero, below zero. We've got nothing left in the tank. There's a wall. We're headed right for it. And Jesus says, nope, not today. So our hope is in Him. It's not in things of this world. It's not in the job. It's not in the size of a bank account. It's not in in how much education you have. Those are all fine things to have. But that doesn't determine who you are. Your hope in Jesus Christ determines who you are. Years ago, I remember I was in a shopping mall in Indonesia. I used to have an office there for our evangelistic work. And I remember walking through the mall in between appointments. And all of a sudden, I heard these wild screams. And I did what anybody, any man of God does when he's in a mall, hears people screaming and fighting. You go see who's fighting, right? So I had to go see what was going on. What's the big deal? And I looked into the atrium of this shopping mall. And there, to my dismay was a sale going on. There was clothing racks everywhere. On the top of the clothing rack, it said discount, 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 discount. And these ladies had lost control. And there's like underwear and dresses and shirts flying everywhere. They're fighting over the clothing because everything on it was on a discount. They're going crazy, fighting over shirts, pulling and like a tug of war. I couldn't believe it. I thought, this is nuts. Just a bit of the sale going on. And what happens to all the ladies, right? It's like they were going fierce. We would say in Singapore, fierce, right? Fierce. And so I left, and I had the thought, though, these are the same women that you see in the department store. But there, when things are full price, they act very differently. Right? When they walk through a department store, they see a nice dress that they like. I say, oh, what a wonderful dress. and they stop for a moment, you know they're picturing themselves wearing the dress, right? Oh, wow. And they look at the dress, look at the price tag, and they see full price. Not today. So well behaved, all their manners, but you put a discount there and they become a different animal altogether. It's amazing to me. You know, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians that you and I were bought with a price. It says twice in the same book of the Bible, 1 Corinthians, that you were bought with a price. What is that price? It's the price of the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of us have a hard time locking in with what God thinks about us, that he actually wants something good for us. He wants you to know how much you're loved. We have a hard time believing that we're valuable, that we're loved, because we don't understand how valuable we really are. What price did God pay for you? On the cross, when he died and rose again, when he sacrificed his own life, he determined how valuable you are. You are worth the price of God's only son. A lot of us wrestle with this because, you know, our experiences, we have bosses that talk us down. We have spouses that talk us down. People at work that want to be important. In order to feel big, they have to make you feel small. And you start believing it. That's not from God. That's from the other guy. The devil is a discount shopper. If he can get you thinking that you're not worth very much, you wake up in the morning and say, oh, I hate my job. I'm not very good at it. I'm not very good at anything. You go to 25% discount before you even start your day. Something happens with a friend of yours. Oh, I'm not a very good friend. I'm terrible. I didn't follow through on what I said I was going to do for them. And now you're at 60% discount. Oh, I'm not even a very good husband or wife. You know, I'm just never there. I'm never around. I don't keep my commitments. I'm just a failure. I'm a failure. I'm a failure. I'm a failure. Now you're at 75% discount. And the devil's saying, hey, I can tear that life apart. Discount, 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 discount. But if you take that moment and remind, no, I am worth something to Almighty God. I am worth the price of his only son. I'm worth the highest price. God cannot pay any more for you to show you how valuable you are to him than he already has at the cross. He can't give more than that. You're worth the price of his only son. So you have to reinforce that is your price. That is your value. That's your value to God, and it will never change. So when we talk about putting our hope in him, realize that he is not going to disappoint you. He's not going to let you down. In fact, I want to skip to Romans chapter 5, verse 5. This is a fantastic verse. I'm reading from the New King James Version, the anointed version. I like it. It says, in Romans 5, verse 5, it says, now hope does not disappoint. Does not disappoint. English Standard Version says, it does not put you to shame. When you put your hope in Christ, he can guarantee that you will not be put ashamed of it. You will not be disappointed. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. God reaches out to you so that you can take hold of that hope. Take hold of that hope. He wants you to have hope in him. He wants you to rely on him. He wants you to find strength in him. He wants your life to rely on him. And his love, when you tap into that, his love is like a never-ending stream if you choose to decide to take hold of that. You're valuable to him. You're valuable to him. If you can't see yourself as valuable, you have a hard time taking hold of the hope that he's extending toward you. That's a decision you have to make. Let me flip quickly to Hebrews 6:19. Hebrews 6:19. I know Pastor Ted makes you read all the scriptures out loud. I'm going to be nice to you today. I like Pastor Ted. 6:19, it says, "This hope we have as an anchor to our soul. It's both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence beyond, behind the veil." In other words, there's a whole world of possibilities out there. Take hold. This is an anchor to your soul. Take hold of the hope that God's extending to you. Hold to it. It will hold you firmly in place. It's steadfast, immovable. It doesn't move. Attach your life to that thing. Well, you think of boats, you know, when you think anchor. I think it's interesting the Bible uses the word anchor. Only place in the New Testament that does this. I think old as well. Anchor. This hope we have is an anchor. You know, we have, if you think of your life as like a boat on water, you know, boats drift. I don't know if you've ever been on a boat that, you know, you didn't put your anchor down. Maybe you're out there fishing or something. You didn't use an anchor. You just put your rod out. And you start in one place. An hour later, you're in another place. Right? Because you didn't put the anchor down. The anchor has a very important function on a boat. It keeps you in the same spot. So you don't drift away. And how the scripture talks about hope as an anchor for our soul. Because the scripture, God knows that every person tends to drift. You might think you have a lot of Bible knowledge, a lot of scripture. I met somebody who asked me what I do, and I said, I'm a pastor. And I said, oh, I have an MDiv. And I just walked away. I thought, huh, you don't even want to talk. What did Jesus do to you? All that studying, right? It's not about the level of education you have. It's about, do you determine to lock in with Jesus? Lock in with Jesus. I remember when I was a young believer, I had a friend of mine. His name's Chris. He's a senior pastor now in Florida. But he and I were in a Christian rock band together. And I remember him one day, we were writing a new song to glorify God. And he said, this Christian thing, I want to do it right. I want to do it right. I want to live right. I remember thinking, that's a really powerful statement. I want to do this. I want to grab hold of the hope I have in Christ. I want to take hold of all the guarantees that he's provided for me. I want to take hold of the love of God. If he's calling me to be in love with him, then I want to be in love with him. There must be something to that. I don't want to lose hold of it. You have to decide to take hold of that. It becomes an anchor for your life so you don't drift. If you've been around church for a while, you may have heard some people say, in each one of us, there's a God-shaped hole inside of us. We're like a donut, right? And then there's a hole where apparently God only fits. He's the donut hole. I was entertained by that. There is a hole there. But I don't think it's so empty because we desire that hope. We desire that connection. There must be some sort of sticky icing or something in there that we kind of get. Maybe it's money that you're chasing. Oh, it takes you over here. Maybe it's a promotion or a job title that you're chasing. It takes you over there. But that soft center that's supposed to be stuck on something, it's meant for Jesus. And when you make that decision to stick to him, he takes hold of you in a whole new way. He takes hold of your life. It becomes sort of like a faith compass for you. You know, a compass, you know what direction you're going. You have to take hold of this thing. Take responsibility for the life you have in Christ. Say, I'm going to do this thing the right way. If God has loved me first, as the family was saying this morning, lighting the Advent candle, God loved us first just so he could have me, just so he could have you. It starts with a yes. I want that. I want that. I want that. And no one's going to know whether you've made a decision or not, because hope actually is quite invisible, isn't it? You can't see what somebody is hoping for all the time. You can't see it. Hope is like that. It's something that is inside. You're stuck on something. You can't get away from it. It's got a hold of you by the innermost parts. And I can tell you that those times when I didn't feel that kind of, that draw, that pull towards Jesus, it's hard to walk by faith. I just can't do it. It's not a very satisfying or gratifying experience. I don't feel connected to God, but he wants you to have that connection with him. Yeah, you can build it up by prayer. You can build it up by reading the Bible. But you have to really just decide that, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus. It starts with that. It starts with that. It starts in that thing where inside of you that nobody can see from the outside. I'm going to go to a verse, last verse I'll turn to. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Which is quite a popular verse when we talk about faith, because it starts with the words, now faith is. So you think, oh, it's all about faith. That's part of it. But it continues, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I think it's a fascinating verse. I love it. Now faith is. What is faith? We say we're followers of Jesus. That's our faith. That's good. Then we should be able to see that you're following Jesus. That's what it means. Because ultimately, faith is not something you have. Faith is something you do. It's an action that's lived out. But it's made up of this substance that's invisible. You can't see it necessarily. It's called hope. That's what faith is made out of. That's the inside stuff, that connection, that expectancy that you have that God is faithful to his word, that he's never going to change. Later on in the same book, it says, God, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can bet your life on it. He doesn't change. And you can expect what he's promised. You can expect what he's told you individually. You can expect all the good things that he has waiting for you. But that should translate into action. So you have this invisible thing happening inside of you that changes the way you act on the outside. That's amazing to me. God loves you. You have hope, and so you move by faith. We don't just do things just to do things. We do things because of the hope that we have inside. We move by faith. We take action because of the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. It's his purpose, his calling, his love that we respond to. An expectation. Do you expect God to move in your life? Do you expect him, like Isaiah said, that the zeal of the Lord is going to accomplish, that God is going to move in your life? I like that. Personally, I like living on the edge to see how God is going to move. I know it's not going to be me. I'm quiet now, just stopping myself from telling stories. That's what I'm doing. Because he wants to write a story in your own life. But you have to decide to trust him, to put your hope in him, to put those expectations in him. It's a relationship with him that you're really building. It's a relationship of faith in him. Scripture tells us that without faith, without some sort of response to him, it's impossible to please him. That's kind of a hard scripture. But he's just calling you. He's loving you. And he's asking you, let's do this thing together. Let's live this thing out together. You can expect him to come through. Look at your life. How do you come to him? How do you come to pray, for example? Do you come to pray because Pastor Ted tells you to? I hope so. But it's got to be, he's a good reminder of that. But when you pray, do you expect God to move? No, I'm not guaranteeing he's going to move and do things exactly the way that you would like them to be done. That usually doesn't happen. But expecting him to do something on your behalf, expecting him to show up in your life, he's asking for you to trust him. And just as a tide of hope was rising when Jesus came on the scene, when we read in the New Testament, you know, and you come into this Christmas season, are your expectations rising? Are you rising to the challenge? Like, God, I'm putting my hope in you. I want a renewed sense of hope. I want a reminder that I'm stuck on you. You're stuck on me. And I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow you, Jesus. It might be uncomfortable. It'll likely be very exciting. And you'll see God just touch this church and touch Mountain View like you have never imagined. God looks for people who put their hope in him. He really does. I want to wrap up in prayer today. Well, why don't we stand? Why don't we stand? And I'll just give you a moment. If there's a difficult situation in your life, you're standing not in front of, well, you're in front of me, but imagine you're standing before Jesus right now. It's a difficult situation in your life. Put that thing into his care. Trust him with that. Put your hope in him. Not necessarily in what you can do. You can do the things you can do. That's fine. But put it in his hands. Say, I'm putting my hope in you. Just pray to yourself. Pray to him quietly. I'm putting my hope in you, Lord. I'm giving you this heavy thing. I don't know what the outcome is going to be. But I know that you're faithful. I know that you're true. I know you'll never fail. And I know I can't carry it alone. I need you. Lord, our hope is in you. As the Apostle Paul said, Jesus Christ, our hope. That's what we celebrate. And Lord, we just put all these situations in your hand, Lord, that, you know, we're not able to carry the heavy load. It's a broken world with broken things, but you are the Savior of this world. You can carry that. And we've been reminded today that we are valuable to you. And so, Lord, just as your kids standing before you, your children, the children of God, Daddy, we ask you just to carry that load. Our hope is in you. And Lord, I just pray that you would give us eyes to see the things that you do. The things that our eyes have not even imagined. Our imagination can't contain what you can do. So Lord, I just pray that you would give us to see how you're going to move. How you might surprise us. That we can celebrate those things. Celebrate the hope that we have, the certainty that we have in you. Let us find strength in your promises, strength in your presence, Lord. We love you, we thank you, and we give you glory. In your name, amen.